At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KelleyBlueBook's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Now I start the recording and you're laughing like even before we say anything. We should tell people what we're doing. This is the How To Podcast. I am Luke. That is Ben. Ben, say hi.
Hello, I'm Ben.
What was that?
I'm trying to freaking mute my phone or something here.
Jeez. And Siri's yelling back at you?
Pretty much. I got all sorts of things yelling back at me.
All right. Well, what are we doing? You want to talk about how to what today?
Oh, well, this was more just a day in the life of Benjamin Abbey.
It's Benjamin.
It's Benjamin when it's formal. So I did a thing.
Congratulations.
Okay. I know, right? Big steps all the way around. So I, let's see, this was back, at the end of July. I get a phone call from my Sherwin rep, right?
Sure. Sherwin Williams painting.
Sherwin Williams rep. Yeah.
Painting guys.
And like, here's the thing. We're going to make content and we're going to talk about the content I want to talk about because this is what gets me fired up. Right. Yeah. So July 27th, I get a call from Sherwin rep. His name's Jesse and he follows me. He might even hear this podcast at some point. He calls me up. He says, "Hey Ben, I got some bad news. I want to let you know that we are about to raise prices 10% as of September 1.
Okay. Right?
10%. Now, the first thing I want you to know in the backstory to what this is that on December 6th of 2021, we all received an email from the president of Sherwin-Williams Midwest Division saying, "Hey, the 4% charge that we've been charging you at the till is going to become permanent as of January 1.
So this was a surcharge because of the paint shortage, because of the deep freeze in Texas or some crap.
And we're going to, this story is so deep. I want you to know that we're going to tap into that too, okay. Right? We're going to get there.
Right? Oh, sorry. Am I jumping the gun?
December 6th, I get that email from the president. My immediate phone call was to Jesse,
who the president of Sherwin-Williams, not the president.
Yeah. No, yeah, the president for sure. Oh, not even of like the whole, not like the whole president, not like the big president. He's the president of the CEO or the president of the Midwest part.
Okay, right? So he's not even in the Midwest.
He's still middle person, yeah. But upper middle.
If right? any part of your title says of the Midwest,
yeah,
like I kind of immediately go, eh. is that a bad thing?
Oh, I hope they're listening to this.
I mean, okay. I'm just. Listen, I don't want to poo-poo the Midwest, but I've driven through there. I mean, like their biggest mountain is a hill.
Absolutely.
What are they even doing out there?
I totally agree.
All the people that started like at Wagons West and went, good enough.
Exactly. You like, right? I have a theory of Darwinism, right?
I'm excited.
The Oregon Trail was Darwinism, and the smartest people made it all the way to the West. Right. So, but that we're getting way off topic.
Okay.
We are way off topic here. So
wait, on this podcast?
Yeah, I know, right? Crazy. So July 26th, I get the phone call from Jesse. He says, "Hey Ben, we're going to go another 10%. And I refer back to the email that I got, because on December 6th, I called Jesse and I said, "Jesse, I will bet you money right now. I will bet that this is not the only price increase that's going to happen in the year of 2022. This is the test. They're just testing us. Are they going to accept this?"
So right? Question, is this now a 14% increase, or is this another now 6 on top of the 4 that was going to become permanent?
It was on this 4 was on top of an 11, and then we add 10. We are almost at 30%.
Yeah.
We are approaching 30%.
27%.
In under 12 months.
Okay.
In under 12 months. So here's the other thing, right? So July 27th, I get the call from Jesse, and he's like, "Hey, Ben, we're going to go another 10% as of September 1. I was like, I told you they would do this. I knew it. I knew it was coming. I knew it. And coincidentally, back in June, Sherwin-Williams posted their mid-year earnings, their financial statement, because they're a publicly traded company.
Yep.
Those numbers came in well below average of what's, and ultimately what we're finding is that Sherwin-Williams is hemorrhaging some money. Sure. There's no doubt. There is of grave concern, right? And so in response to that, my sentiment was that, okay, now we're going to announce a 10% increase to us, the little guy, because the banks aren't making their money.
Yep.
So I, being who I am and having the platform that I do,
sure,
right, I hop on TikTok and I make a post. I make a tickety talk and I call out by name.
Wait, real quick.
Go.
Are cool people calling it tickety talk, or is this something you're trying to start?
I guess it's something I'm trying to
start. Okay, stop it. Just want to make sure.
I love it. Okay, so I make a TikTok about I'm upset, right? I'm very upset in this TikTok. Yep. And in the TikTok, by name, I call out the CEO and the CFO of this poorly ran company.
Sure.
Right? And I lay into it. I'm like, because the other side of it was, while they're jacking prices up, the other thing that they weren't doing is providing the same service to us. And here's where it is. What they did without notice is they did not stay open for their summer hours.
Ooh.
Right? Now, no, and we're currently sitting in a heat wave right now. We're in Oregon. We're sitting in this sticky heat wave.
Oh, I can feel it.
Yeah, it's sticky as heck out. So the way it works for me and my painters, right, is we will typically do a thing where we'll go like, okay, 7 to noon, 7 to 1, we're working on the job site.
Yep.
But then in the heat of the day, we'll bounce off the job site. And if the job site's close, we'll come back from like 6 to 9 p.m.
Yep.
And wrap and basically get a full day's worth of work in. But in safety and consideration of the paint, we're doing the things that we best to the best of our abilities.
Yep.
By Sherwin-Williams not staying open from 6 to 8 while we're working, you're now impeding your service for me, which is your only, that's your whole thing. That's the whole thing that you say. I was pissed because here we are, July 27th. We're going to announce a price increase poorly.
Yep.
We're going to poorly announce a price increase.
For the last month and a half that you have of the year that you can actually paint exteriors of homes.
Exactly.
How much do I know about painting?
Very minimal. It's very minimal. But
how much should they know about painting?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. What they should know. So I make the TikTok post, and basically I had done the math also. Of the 4,217 stores, if they needed two employees to close that out for 2 hours, all of that factored in based on relative wages, I got it figured that with the 401k matching potential health insurance, Sherwin-Williams is saving somewhere around $100 million.
Oh, sure.
I mean, bare minimum. That's what I got it penciled in at. And that's just old Ben doing rough before Common Core math, right? We're not getting real detail, but that's what I did. So I make the TikTok post. I don't think it's really going to make any noise.
Sure.
I think I'm just venting to the screen as I am now, right? Sure. As I am now to you.
Listen, there's some woman in Iceland that really thinks you're great, and she's going to hear it and be like, meh. That's what you think is going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I get a phone call, direct phone call.
How soon?
Within 36 hours. Within 36 hours.
Flexing your muscles.
I get a phone call from the new vice president of the Western Division. She covers, her name is Jacqueline. Now, she covers.
Now you're Alaska. Saying California, Oregon, Washington,
Montana, Alaska. Idaho.
These are states I can get behind. This isn't Midwest.
Oh no.
You're now in the big leagues.
We're big league in it, right? We're major markets, port sure. cities.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, so she calls me up and she's like, she says, that she's really sorry about how this announcement got rolled out. We apologize, you know, yada, yada, yada. You know, what can we do to make this situation facilitate this for you? Because we can see that you're upset. I don't really ask for anything. I'm like, listen, if you're treated better.
Yep.
Like, and I run her, Jacqueline, because she's new. I run her through the gamut that has been the shit show since 2020, sure. right? Of what Sherwin did. And my examples are, well, in 2020, pandemic happens, contractors are suffering, right? Because we take a massive hit. I ended up doing half revenue in 2020. And I definitely communicated that to you.
Yeah. So, well, that and like half the state caught on fire and there's some things.
Yeah, half the state caught on fire. All of those fun things, right? Meanwhile, Sherwin-Williams, their stock price continues to rise. And the reason it continues to rise has everything to do with the DIY sales that are coming in.
Yep.
All these people are now stuck at home. Yep. They're painting their walls. Sherwin-Williams is selling paint at a full price and they're making money, making bills, right? Then they come to us, the contractor, about June, July, and they try and tap us for more sales while we're suffering and say, hey, we'll give you these deals if you can buy 10, 20 cases of X, Y, and Z in bulk. We'll cut you these deals. I'm like, I called them. I was like, how dare you?
Yep.
How dare you come to us and be your and let us be your storage unit? Yep. Are you kidding me? So then 2021 comes, and Sherwin's little play that year is paint shortage, right? We have a freeze that happens in Texas. We all know about the freeze.
Nobody could have planned for a Texas over freeze.
Except for the fact that Sherwin-Williams for the last 10 years has been developing paints that are designed to combat climate change. So I know that they know climate change exists.
Yep.
Meanwhile, they have their pipes above ground in Texas. So those pipes freeze, those pipes burst. They are not prepared. Then in 2021, the price increases that we're seeing, they come to us and they say, hey, these are for our infrastructure upgrades. This is for us upgrading our facilities to be able to handle the climate change, to be able to handle the things that we didn't forecast in our, but you have been forecasting. Like, it just didn't make any logical sense. And then 2022 comes, we're going to keep tapping us for more. Meanwhile, Sherwin, they're not making the money they need to, but they're not losing money. It's not like they're losing money. They're going to make plenty of money, right? So at the end of all this, I get the phone call from Jacqueline. And as part of the conversation, one of the things that she says is, she's like, you know, so the Portland area team. They're a little bit discouraged. You know, some of them saw the TikTok and, you know, they were a little hurt by it. And I have a very great relationship with the Portland area team, very great relationship. And I said quite bluntly, I was like, listen, if the Portland area team, well, the first thing I actually said was, you know, I'll need to sleep on that, on whether I'll take that TikTok down. I'll let you know tomorrow, but we'll see, you know. And she, you know, she said, well, it's for the Portland area team. They're feeling discouraged, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, you know, I don't call out anybody from Portland. I call out the CEO and CFO. If the Portland area team takes that to heart, maybe they'll be the ones to take that to the people that need to hear it. Because if they're feeling that blame is not me projecting that blame. That blame's coming from their upper parts. I got nothing to do with it.
She had your phone number to call you?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think she got it?
She got it from, they have
the Portland team.
Yeah,
the Portland team that had their feelings hurt. Yeah. That's my guess, right? Like, yeah. Did anybody from Portland go, Ben, my feelings?
Like, no.
Exactly. How many people do you know in Portland for Sherwin Williams?
Oh, many. I mean, yeah, between
two dozen people.
Yeah, let's call it two dozen.
Anybody call you?
No, not one. Listen, not one.
Janet, Jackie, what's her name?
Jackie. Name was Jacqueline. Yeah.
Jacqueline. Oh, that's close on both parts. Jacqueline. You were. Jacqueline, listen to me. I know two dozen people from Portland. I interact with them on a daily basis. They enjoy my TikToks, especially the ones where I don't rail on how terrible Sherwin Williams is. But you know what? They don't mind those either. They all have my phone number. They can all call me.
We can have a conversation. And at the end of it all, right?
There's nothing better, though, when somebody from corporate goes, listen, your friends that you interact with on a daily basis, they're really hurt.
Right?
Wait, who?
Who?
You know, the best and sweat equity with over the years, the people that you actually communicate with on a regular basis, the people that you buy from directly, the people who, when you buy, it actually impacts their paycheck. You know those people, Ben? Because I don't. Exactly. I've never met them because I'm in corporate. But I'm guessing that those are the people that are really impacted, the ones that didn't call you.
They're the ones that are hurt right now.
Yeah.
So I sleep on it. I talked to Jacqueline the next day and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to pull this TikTok down. And she's like, you know what? I slept on it too. And I actually rescind my request for you to take the TikTok down because it's your platform. You can. And ultimately she knows that nothing about what I said was untrue.
How many views?
Oh, not that many actually. Yeah. It only got a couple thousand views. It wasn't even that big a deal. But Jacqueline followed me from last year's the account that I had made through Sherwin Williams. She followed me from that agitation that I created within the Sherwin Nebulous, right? Yeah. So things continue, and then I ended up having a breakfast last week with the new district manager for the area, and his name was Ryan. Great guy.
How are his feelings?
His feelings felt great.
Okay,
good. Here's the thing, right? And Sherwin knows this, and they are a corporation, and they're relatively archaic in the things that they do, and. I'll say it out loud. They're run by some old ass white guys and they need to go. Like that's where we're at. They need to go because the speed at which the world is moving is well outpacing anything that Sherwin is doing. And I'll give you an example. In my conversation with Jacqueline, I was like, you know, the funny part is we're talking about, you know, the social media aspect, and I didn't even slam you the way I wanted to slam you. I had a whole bit about how I was going to bring up the fact that you are the largest paint corporation in the world and you have 8,000 followers on TikTok. I'm hungry. I love this, daughter.
Yes. There are snacks on next to the TV in the bedroom.
Gotta love being a dad.
Dig out.
Doesn't matter. It's so good. Dad, I need some snacks. Yeah.
Well, you tell a five-year-old that you need an hour.
That there's no time there. That doesn't
How long is that?
Snack time's now, Dad.
Never mind.
Snack time is now. So
kindergarten, 2 weeks. We start kindergarten in 2 weeks.
Big day, dude. I'll give you some tips on how to prepare for kindergarten drop off. Okay. I got something for you. I got a quick little list in my head.
All right. Well, part two.
Okay. So Jacqueline is...
I did not slam you the way that I wanted to.
Oh, I didn't slam you the way I wanted to. And I bring up the fact, I was like, you're the largest pink corporation in the world. Your social media is a travesty. You have 8,000 followers on TikTok, the easiest platform in the world to generate followers.
How do you know? Right?
Because I do it. So,
and I'm not that bright.
And what I said was, I was like, Toys R Us hasn't been in business now for 3 years. And that giraffe has 650,000 followers. What's wrong with you? Like,
didn't Toys R Us move inside of like some other giant corporate underbelly? Aren't they like Macy's?
And they're about to come. My understanding is they're about to come back too.
Yeah, but then they got, was it Macy's or Kohl's or somebody? And then they just put like the Toys R Us corner in some stores. I don't know.
I don't go to the malls. I'm an introvert. I stay in the cave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cave. Just talking to
myself,
yelling at clouds over the internet.
Yelling at price increases that come from large corporations.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So long story short,
too late for that. Jeez.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's
17 story, minutes later. So to make a long story short,
It is a net positive conversation, yeah. Right? Because it did give me the opportunity to vent my frustrations over the last 3 years.
Yep.
Because what Sherwin does not get to keep doing is this thing where they basically play victim to their own circumstances that they are creating.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, I went so far as to look up the salaries of the CEO and the CFO. You are paying this gentleman, CFO, Alan, he's getting paid at least seven figures, somewhere around $1.5 million without bonuses.
Yep.
He has a whole team of forensic analysis and accountants that are beneath him. That's their whole job, is to forecast what the heck is going to happen for our company in the coming months, years, all the way down the line. That's their job.
Yeah.
If they're not doing that well, get rid of them. Why are they here? Why do I have to keep eating the cost for their piss poor performance? I get frustrated.
What's your alternative?
And that's the frustration, yeah. Right? There is for me, as a business owner that wants to grow on a national level, mm-hmm. there's other paint providers, of course, but as far as a streamlined concept at the ground level for what Sherwin does, all of their employees are taught how to paint match the exact same way. All of their machines are the exact same machine, so that when you go buy a gallon at your store in Washington and my store in Salem, those are the same exact freaking color. We don't get that congruency with other paint companies. And that becomes the frustration, is that I am bound, because I want to be big.
Yep.
I do get a little bit bound to that level, yep. Right?
Ask them why they move slow. It's because they can.
They can. Exactly. Absolutely can. And
yeah. That's where the frustration comes in. You know, you look at the, you know, let's break up all the monopolies. They still exist. You know, they still have, there's only certain companies that have that kind of reach. And when they say 10% price increase, part of it is just going, all right, let's see how many people this pisses off.
Exactly.
Pissed off Ben in Salem, Oregon. Where's Salem, Oregon? Give me another cigar.
Exactly.
A woman to walk by, I'll slap her in the ass. And we'll just hang out here in the 1950s.
You ever watch Hudsucker Proxy with Tim Robbins?
Sure.
The invention of the hula hoop, right? And they have the stock ticker that's on the roll of
right tape. There in the corporate meeting room. Yeah. In the giant.
That's how I imagine all these guys in CEO, CFO positions. They do have big old fat stogies. They wear some kind of reader glasses, and they typically have a pocket watch.
Oh, sure. For some reason. Yep.
Like, it might be digital now, but it's a pocket watch.
Like a digital. It looks just like a stopwatch.
Yeah, it's a stop. Exactly.
Not super classy.
Let's talk about some how to do back to school stuff.
Oh, okay. This is my first go round with it. So we have navigated. We've successfully navigated so far. The getting them to kindergarten, which so far so good. There are no grades. There is nothing given to it. But we had to navigate a boundary exception. So we have them because they go to daycare, I don't know, 5 minutes from home, but it's in a different school district. Got we it. Wanted to keep the same before and after school care just for consistency's sake, because it's within walking distance of an elementary school. So if they go to the one that's in our district, it puts them in the Vancouver School District, which is meh. If they go to daycare, then they're in the Evergreen School District, which is a little bit better. Plus, we don't have to adjust our entire lives to Wednesday early release every week and you know, days off and in service and all that. So we've secured the daycare. We've properly navigated where we have them enrolled in the new school. We have preview week coming up where they get to do like half days. We're going to meet the teachers in 2 weeks. And then September 6th, they're on their own. September 7th, they graduate from high school. And we're like, what the f*** just happened?
Yep, and it's deuces, right? It's see you later. Have a good life. Okay. So being that I have children that are a little bit older than yours, let's go through some of the finite details of that day that you and your wife are going to drop the kiddos off for their first
day. And never see them again.
And well, no, you need to see them again.
No, they're going to come back as young adults. Like, we're going to drop them off as... Yeah, we're going to drop them off as preschoolers. They're going to come back as kindergartners. They're going to have attitudes. They're probably going to have a tattoo. They're going to have a new haircut. They're going to have a bunch of friends. Probably have boyfriends.
Oh, yeah.
Tattoo, like,
they pierced, start getting crushes. Like, yeah, it's
pierced eyebrows and nostrils. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's going to be...
It's all the things.
Yeah.
I mean, like cigarette burn marks in their arm.
Oh, yeah.
Just right here with it. Okay, so... For real though, tips. So know that a couple of things when it comes to the back to the school stuff. One, I was the one to take both of my kids for their first day of kindergarten. I was dropping them off, hand flexibility to do that. So I took them to school for their first days. We didn't do a bus thing. I walked them to their school.
So real quick question. Yeah. So did your school do this? We have August 30th or September 1st, they get like a half day, like a 2 hour go in, hang out, meet the teacher, but only half the kids are going to be there. And it's just like an orientation day.
Yep.
Then on Friday, September 2nd, they can do another half day, but now all the kids are there. So they get to meet all their classes, not doing anything. And then the actual first day of school is the day after Labor Day on the 6th. So they get like a pretty clean warm up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like preseason football, right? Much. It's
so they only have to play a couple series.
Yeah, it's a couple series just to see how things are panning out.
And if they play well, then they're out after one, and then they're good.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you're not going to put your starters up on. We're not here for that. That's how they get injured.
How long before I know if my kids are better than all the other kids? That's all I really need to know.
It happens quick.
Okay.
You're going to know within the first week. And it's likely true that they are going to be better than all the other kids. There's no doubt about it.
I got booger eaters. Damn it. Knew it.
I raised them better than that. Okay, so my first tip for dropping off kids, right, for the first day of school, I need you to bring sunglasses. I don't know what the weather is going to be on that day, but you want sunglasses. Not because the sun is going to be in your eye, that right there, right? And here you are. It's going to be a part of that because you're not going to be the one to break into full sobbing tears. That's not where you're. Yeah, no. It's just a little. It's going to be the little bit of emotion, like, oh shit, like, you're old enough to walk away from me now.
But I'm dropping off two kids at the same time. One of them, I'll be like, I'm going to miss you all day. The other one will be like, all right, good luck. Good luck. Not to you. Good luck to the school.
I hope this entire district is ready for
it. Yeah, like, I don't know what they think they're getting here with, like, these two adorable little twins, but they're getting one pretty good kid, and they're getting one tornado of terror. Like, good luck.
You're just happy that you have one of each. That way, you know that if they were to come to you for some sort of compensation, extra compensation later, you'd be like, well, I gave you one good one and one bad one. Like, we're good here.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's the other thing is they've already identified that they let us know. They go, in the school district, we have seen over time that the most direct route to success individually for your children to put them in separate classes. We will not have your twins in the same class. So that was something we weren't sure about because I've heard different things. And like when we talked to the Vancouver school district, like, we'll feel how the kids are. We want to see what's – everyone's school district, no. They're getting two different classrooms. Don't care how tough it is day one. It's going to be better in the long run. We've done this enough, right? So the thing is, we're going to have two very different parent-teacher conferences. But the other thing that could happen is they both kind of recess to the mean, right? So like where the snotty attitude, the points of differentiation between the two children is most pronounced when they're next to one another. Maybe they're both good kids and they both end up being whatever. One of them's not like, we think she's great because her sister's like literally like ripping drywall off right now. Like with she somehow found an ice pick and she's climbing up to the ceiling. Yeah. Just, yeah, exactly. Like you look like a terrible kid. Cause your sister here is, you know, she's starting a C Corp to help like baby seals. So like,
she just filled out my 1040 easy.
Yeah. Like she's, so by comparison, she seems bad, but really like they're just going to be kindergartners, right? They're going to be like all the other kindergartners. Mm-hmm. So when they're not next to each other, we probably won't even notice the difference.
Absolutely. Okay. So, but tip one is bring the sunglasses.
That makes sense. I'm with
you. The game is you're going to have them off, but you want, as you walk away, you want to be able to just throw those things on just so that you can have that cool vibe as you're moving away from the kid.
You see these beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah.
They're sensitive to light. So the sunglasses will not seem out of place.
Absolutely.
Except for I'm in the middle of the school hallway, but no big deal.
The next thing that I think that this is one thing that, like, I definitely wasn't prepared for it. Like, was the kids are, at least mine were, they were like, okay, bye, Dad.
Peace. Yeah, like, they don't care.
They don't give. They're excited. They're like, bye. Yeah, got to go. Yeah. I'm like, you, last night we were crying over, like, X, Y, and Z, just being detached. And now you're just like, deuces, like, what happened? And that probably threw me more for a loop than much everything else. It's like, because you're just sitting there like, wait, you're good with this?
So here's,
I'm good with it.
So here's what happened. So we applied for the boundary exception day one, right? So sometime in May, they're like, well, you know, in August, we're like, okay. So we did not do the school orientation for the school that they're actually going to. Yeah. But we're like, well, if they don't get in, let's go to the orientation at the other school. So we go to that one and we get there and it's supposed to start at like, I don't know, let's say 5, whatever. So we get there a couple minutes early and they're like, actually it's going to be closer to 5:15 now. And we're like 5 minutes early. There's a couple other parents milling about. And so I have the bright idea of going, like, let's just walk around to the back of the school. There's a play area there. We've got a couple kids. You've got kids. Let's just, like, let's go back there. So the other parents followed us. You know exactly how long it took for the twins to make a new friend when they went to the playground with another kid that was their same age?
Yeah.
Boom. So I'm kind of prepared for that. Like, it was, they're like, well, what if we don't go to that school? What about our new friend that we made? And we're like, what's her name? And they're like, I don't know. And I go, you'll make new friends. Like, I'm not worried about. And it was Eloise. She was adorable. But yeah.
It's a good name
too. It was a good name. That's what I mean. I was like, sorry, that's why I remember it. But I was like, she was adorable, but guess what? There's gonna be another Eloise.
Yeah. There's gonna be many other Eloise that come along.
Oh yeah. You're gonna be
that you have daughters too, right? So my oldest is the daughter.
How long before I have to like threaten the boys in the class? Like, how long before I have to like stink eye them? Straight away.
It's straight away. Like
I have the sunglasses so that like if I'm welling up, you can't stink eye somebody.
Like, just imagine these are my glasses, right? You're gonna pull them down and you're gonna give them the eye. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you can't do it when you're welling up.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because you know some punk 5-year-old kid's gonna be, what's the matter? You're crying, then put his arm around my daughter.
That
would
like happen. He's gonna have like a cigarette pack rolled up in his sleeve, you know? Like that's
how it's gonna
go. Very, very Grease and Olivia Newton-John, rest in peace, right? She just passed away. Okay, so the daughter thing, boys, right? In the relative attraction, it happens quick. The crushes are quick. It doesn't take time.
It's not middle school.
Build up there, and I'll tell you what, probably guess within the first 5 minutes of meeting the classroom who those boys are going to be. I knew it right away.
Yeah.
Right. I think
that looks like a young Ben Abbey. Yeah. All the girls are going to be into him. Yeah.
Yeah. And coincidentally, P's first crush, his name was Logan. And yeah. So here's the other thing that happens is it's you get into these very quasi friendly conversations with parents, because the thing that you don't realize as a parent is that, yeah, your kids are going to move through school with these kids. Yep. You're going to move through these schools with these same parent groups over and over again.
Yeah.
And what I would encourage you in this tribalism world that we're currently living in, right, is pick your sides well in the beginning. Okay. Because like I would like when I say, well, I would almost give it a grace period, right? Before you commit to a team, before you go sign papers that you want to be a part of this squad of moms and dads, like just know, just get a vibe, do a vibe check with them, you know? And it's hard because your interactions are so sparse, right? So you really have to come up with these small talk questions that really are these like small talk, but they're probing. You're probing to find out.
I need an example. Give me your best. Give me your best probing, trying to figure out if the guy's a psycho question.
Oh, okay. Okay. This.
How many chainsaws is too many chainsaws? Like something like that? No, is that no?
It's more, it's kind of like that, but it's more like, I'll almost do like, it's an interest question, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are you the type of parent that's, are you on the video games the whole time? Like, is the parent, like, where is your interaction at with your kids, right, in that space? So I'll ask them questions like, oh, yeah, so what do you get into, you know, on your weekends or whatever? Me, I'm outdoors, right? I'm running around hot. That's my whole vibe.
Sure.
I don't do video games anymore. I mean, I used to, but
I was literally playing Mario Brothers last night with the kids.
That's so, like, there's no slight to it.
No. Hey, you try to slight me, buddy. I didn't say there was a slight to it. I'm just saying we pulled out Mario Brothers. Blast.
It's the relative time to what's happening. So, but you're going to have to develop some of those questions where it's like, hey, I want to get to know you, but at a distance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so,
but see, the trick is you have to ask the questions without like being a psycho yourself. Mm-hmm. Cause if you ask the weird questions, then Absolutely. You become the weird dad. Like, Absolutely. Like, hey, I'm just trying to get your vibe. It's like, so, what do you think of cocaine and boats? Like you can't really, well, I mean, boats are cool.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Me same.
This is one of my best examples of a dad passing the vibe check with me in some of our first interactions as dads with daughters.
Okay.
So kindergarten year, zoo trip, right? We go to the zoo field day, field trip day. I'm the dad that gets to go because
chaperoning. Again, yeah.
Yeah. Chaperoning. So the way that worked out, they would give, obviously my kid comes with me. And then there's like two or three other of the students that are under my tutelage for the zoo day experience, sure. Right? And me and this other dad, we live down the street from each other. Our daughters are relative friends together. And so we kind of hover around each other as we're moving through the zoo, the Portland Zoo.
Sure.
He passed the vibe check when he gives me the old elbow in the shoulder.
Says, look at those two hippos humping. Oh,
it was elephants. I'm telling you that elephants thing was all over the place. It was
you bonded over elephant weens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was hilarious. And then he goes, what did he say? He's like, I'm going to post this on the Chive. And no joke, he did. And it went like viral.
That's hilarious. So, here's the thing that I have to get celebrity. I mean, there's tens of people that know who I am.
Hey, sometimes I don't think you give yourself enough credit. I mean, that's just me though.
Yeah.
I might be biased. I might be biased in that regard.
Yeah.
But.
Well, no, it's funny because, so when I did stand-up comedy, it was one of those things where I wouldn't tell people I did stand-up comedy because then they go, tell me a joke. Be funny. Do something funny. I'd always wait until they thought I was funny. And they'd be like, you're hilarious. And I'm like, yeah, I do some stand-up comedy.
Whatever. Yeah.
But the same thing with sports. Like my wife, she hates it when sports come up as a topic because then it's just like, somebody's like, I sure know a lot about sports. And I'm like,
dude,
yeah,
let's do this.
Let's go. Well, cause you have to remember, if you ever listen to my sports radio show, I don't really take sides until somebody else does. And then I just take the opposite side. So I'm not even like, I'm the most passionate sports fan. I'm just good at talking about sports. It's like, I just take, like, you tell me why Matt Ryan's going to play well for the Colts this year, and I'll tell you the exact opposite because it's fun.
We can get into that conversation too.
It's funny because you sign a guy to take you over the top. Yes, he's an MVP, but you got a guy that chokes in the Super Bowl. What are you doing?
Okay. Hear me out. Hear me out on this whole thing. We're changing gears now.
No. But that's just an example because I can give you both.
You can't give an example like that and not let me come back.
I literally gave you both examples in one, but I knew how you were going to react. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been an MVP. That's what you need. The whole team's going to be great around him. You get a guy in Carson Wentz who can't finish a season. Yeah, listen, I know your argument. We just needed a veteran presence. We needed somebody to come in. Get out of here.
Listen, I don't need you to recite my bullet points back to me.
Okay? I know your bullet points.
Here's the thing I'm going to say. The one thing is I do believe that Matt Ryan is the best quarterback option that we have taken since the loss of Andrew Luck.
Curtis Painter. Oh no, that was before Andrew Luck. He was before Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Now you're just.
All I do is remember names and just throw it out there just to piss
you
off.
You're just shoveling the dirt onto the grave.
Do you want to talk about Jeff George? How far back do you want to go? Do this all day.
Far back.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh played some QB snaps for the Colts, huh? Hasselbeck? Shut up.
Here's the thing on Hasselbeck, though. I like him as a locker room guy.
He won't intimidate anybody.
Yeah, he's a good locker room, like knowledgeable, right? You know, obviously he's been to Super Bowls, all that fun stuff.
But, Super Bowl.
It's overrated.
Yeah. he was riding the Sean Alexander train. So that's Super Bowl. And then Sean Alexander's like, I got paid him. So anyways.
In that Super Bowl, Pittsburgh versus Seattle.
Yeah.
Were the refs the problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've admitted. 2 years later, they're like, sorry about that.
Yeah, our bad.
Yeah. Wasn't our best game. Like, whatever. Whatever. The other problem was you got to, stop the rush. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Listen. It is what it is. But that's the thing about sports is you can take both sides of every argument and be right and be wrong at the same time. And you will never change anybody's mind. The fun part about sports is it's like you can argue it until kickoff.
Yep.
And then it goes the complete opposite way. And you go, well, listen, I had the Bears keeping it close, but I still think the Colts are going to win, even though Devin Hester just returned the opening kickoff. and then you can keep your argument until the final 2 minutes, regardless of what happens. You still have Rex Grossman as quarterback. They're never going to finish this game because the Bears could not have. That's the best start you can have to a Super Bowl was the Colts and the Bears. Am I right? So you could have argued for. The whole 2 weeks going up to that Super Bowl, the Bears don't stand a chance. And guess what? Even after they started winning, you were still right. Because guess what? They lost. Exactly. But that's the fun part is you can go and until the final, you can go, I told you. Like that's my favorite is people that bet on sports. They go through all these analytical reasons for doing it. And they go, I told you that was going to happen. It's like, you said it was going to be 58-0. Well, yeah, but like, 8-0 is the same thing. What I told you was they were going to win.
All right. One of the best, I thought, and this, Colts versus Saints in 2010, yeah. Super Bowl.
The only two Super Bowls you've watched.
No, I'm just kidding. No, the only two I've probably cared about, but I've cared about
the Peyton Manning and Denver ones because you love Peyton Manning so much.
Well, no, and I actually care, and every other one because I wanted to watch Tom Brady lose. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
But
we're gonna have a guest star on. Andy, come here.
I dig it. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, she's good.
Like the call that the coach of the Saints, I just lost his name, but
Dennis Sean, Allen. Sean Payton. Oh, Sean Payton in the Super Bowl. But yeah, so new guys.
He made that call to do a fake kickoff.
The onside.
The onside to start the second quarter or the third quarter. It was awesome. Hello.
All right, you're on a podcast, so say hello.
Are you excited to start school?
Hello?
She cannot hear you because I'm wearing headphones. He asked if you're excited to start kindergarten.
No.
Why not?
Because.
That is not a good enough reason. All right. Do you just need to get some food? No, don't do that. You can go grab some food if you want. There's more in there.
No.
You ate it all? Okay, no. We'll get some more as soon as we're done with this.
Stop it.
What? Get back on your tablet.
Guys, working from home is fun, though. Right?
Yeah, we have 2 days where the preschool is closed. It's fun. It's fun. Come on. I mean, with the technology that we have, it was funny. I have a coworker, and he's like, all week with the kids. He's like, it's been exhausting. And I'm like, I get it. Totally get it. And we had this meeting. He's like, I have to bring them to, we did like a just, like team meeting or whatever. He's like, I have to bring the kids. And the kids were being pretty good, 5 and 6. And he's just, you can see like the heat temperature of his forehead just increasing. And I go, hey kids, new season of Bluey just came out. And they're like, oh my gosh, we've watched half of it already. I go, bet your dad has it on his phone. He's like, good idea. Like what you do is you resist until that breaking point. You go, I'm about to get upset, and go, here's technology.
Exactly.
It's fine. Like, it's fine. Do they watch TV all day, every day? No. Do they watch all day TV some days? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's balanced. It's just balanced.
Hey,
it's
listen, fine. Is it a perfect solution? But here's the other thing, too, is that I spend so much time staring at screens. Like, right now, I have 5 screens in front of me.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've got the laptop that I'm looking into now that has a camera built into it. I use it basically just because I don't want to have to set up a second camera for Zoom. I've got 2 screens that I work off of that are much larger than the laptop screen. I've got a screen on the switchboard that I have that records everything. And my phone just lit up with a reminder that I need to do something later today. So 3 screens for my computer, screen on the podcaster, and then my phone is sitting where I can see it on my desk, and it just lit up. So, like, if they get used to looking at screens, I feel like they're probably adapting to the world that they're going to live in.
Pretty much.
Like, is it ideal? No. Like, we're going to go fishing, and we're going to go no screen days, and we're going to go out and do all of those things.
How was Alaska? We didn't talk about this.
We didn't talk about Alaska. Oh, buddy.
No, because we haven't done the podcast since you got back from Alaska.
No, I think we did. I can't remember if we talked about it or not. But so we've done one because we did the July podcast. This is now August. The trip to Alaska was fantastic. The Russian River. What's that?
That happened in June, right?
Yeah, end of June. Okay. Russian River. We brought back 150 pounds of sockeye salmon between the 5 of us.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just so our whole goal this year was to just master the fishing of the river. So last year we went up kind of quite by accident, happened upon the sockeye run, didn't have the right gear. We kind of were geared out to go do some trout fishing. Water was a little too high for trout fishing in at least the spots that we went to. And then we were near the Russian River. So somebody's like, let's go check it out. One of my brothers had been up there before. So we go and we're like, oh, we're just doing this. So we tried to gear up a little bit more, but I wasn't ready to buy a new fly rod in the moment. So I'm using a three weight fly rod.
Okay.
And I can put probably 12 pound tests on it without snapping the pole in half. My brother did break a pole. So this year we went up there, like I had a 10-weight pole, 10-weight reel, 30-pound test line ready to go. And yeah, we just crushed it. Like it was like the first day we went out, I landed my limit. My brother was one shy. Everybody else, three the first day. And then they upped it to six. And I say the limit because between the two of us, we got six fish and he got two and whatever. No,
It's how we fish when we're
on the boat. Listen.
We're hanging out.
We got our limits. But we went and fished the confluence where the Russian River meets the Kenai River, which is nuts. Have you ever been up there?
Not there, no. I've only fished out of Ketchikan, Alaska. So okay. I haven't been to the rivers.
Okay, so the Kenai River is huge, and it's this like crazy iridescent blue color coming straight off the glaciers. It's so cold that it has this like hazy sky blue color to it that's in the water. It's not the reflection.
Yeah, it's like the silt of the runoff.
Right? 100% wild, right? And then the Russian River is just glass. It's just crystal clear, and it's probably just the depth because you're just seeing a lot more of the water in the Kenai. And yeah. So where those two rivers meet is they call it the sanctuary. And that's where it's like true combat fishing. Like you're within 7 to 10 feet. Like, but you are. I mean, you're within 7 to 10 feet of like the next fisherman over. And right where the east bank of the Kenai River, you'll see people as far as your eye can see. There's just people down there just casting, and you're just all you're trying to do is floss them, right? You're not trying to actually hook into or get them to bite on. You're just throwing it out there. Your weight's about 18 inches from the fly, and you're just trying to floss these fish because it's so thick with them. And so it's just like you hook into a fish, somebody nets it for you, they hand you the net with the fish, take your spot, and then you get your gear out of there as quick as you can so you can net the next fish and take the next spot. Like it's that quick. So we went out first day, me and my brother went down there, me and my brother Frank, it's my three brothers, my dad, so it's the five of us. So me and Frank go and do the confluence. My dad's like, I don't need any of that. I'll just try to fish the river. My brother Paul's a little bit more into the relax, so he's fishing the river as well. And then Mark, I think he broke a pole that day. He ended up breaking two poles this year, but one for different reasons. Anyways,
on fish?
No, one on a fish, one on a tailgate.
Oh, yeah. Always the worst.
And he blamed, whatever. And so first day, Frank and I go to the confluence. We both get our limit. We go back. They hadn't caught anything. It's a lot harder to catch them in the river because it's just there's not as much of a
concentration,
yeah. Exactly. So then we go back up to the truck, go back to camp. We camped about 20 minutes away, right on Tartigan Creek, which pretty beautiful in its own right, but nobody fishing there just because it's June, the water's rushing like crazy. They're pretty big in dollies and rainbows, but later in the season. So then so we camp there and nobody's around. Just total paradise. Do you want to? Andy, can you grab that door for your sister? Una momento, please.
No problem. I love being a dad. It's the best.
It is the best.
It's so fun. It does it like it's so cool.
You can play with one of those, or you can go watch TV in our room. All right. Yes, it's great. Like the little interruptions, like I don't even care. Like it's
what it is.
100%.
Yeah, it's like. What are you going to do? Be mad? Because what? It's a podcast.
These two just went mutton busting. Two five-year-olds riding sheep at the Clark County Fair. We did that last
Tuesday. Did you get
him? Zuzu made it to the final, and he got stomped pretty hard by the sheep and was not happy. She was so upset because she got stepped on by a sheep. And then she goes, I'm never doing that again. And then her sister made it into the final, and she's like, I want to be in the final. I go, you have to ride again. She's like, oh, well, I still want to be in there. Yeah. So it was a very emotional day, but it was a blast. And Zuzu's doing it again next year, and she's going to win a bike. So she's already in full training.
She's out there. She's training. Like, oh, yeah. She's bulking up.
Oh, yeah, dude. She's drinking her milk, doing the whole thing.
A mutton bust all over the place.
Yeah. So anyways, so then we go to our campground. We get all set up. My brother bought like a the Arctic Igloo all-weather tent. So we set that up. My brother Mark and my dad drove up through British Columbia. So they were sleeping out of the, they outfitted his canopy. So it was two bunks and then all the gear, sweet setup.
How long of a drive is that?
They took 3 weeks. So I don't know how long the drive took. I mean, they it's like 18 hours, but they camped out through the whole thing and went through all around Alaska. They had a trip. And so we were up there for 5 days.
That's fun.
Yeah. We're up there for 5 days. Second day we go fishing. We, end up getting our limits. I think so between the five of us, we could have got 15 fish. I think we got 13. And then on Friday we go out there, the limit's still three. And we didn't even make it to the confluence. Like we went and we limited out within like 4 hours in the river. Like everybody was hooking into fish. Everybody found like their honey hole and we're going to leave. Like, dude, we got it nailed. Like we're all seeing the fish better and knowing where to cast. We're just kind of getting like this, yeah. Like, cause fishing the Russian River is totally different than fishing the confluence where you're just kind of spraying and praying. Like the more casts I get in the water, the better chance I have of catching a fish. Where in the river, it's like, if you can spot a little run of three or four fish and put it in the right spot, you can watch them hook. And so we're all kind of getting that technique down. And so we're like, got it nailed. We go to leave. They have this pretty elaborate check-in system where it's like one in, one out. And so they'll have people waiting for parking spots. They'll have a line of 10, 15 cars waiting to get in. You leave, they let one car in. We leave in two cars, they let two cars in. And so we go, it goes up, or tonight at midnight, really yeah, set. 10 minutes, like boom, Saturday, we're going to go and we'll just hit our spots and we'll be in and out. It'll take us, you know, the same amount of time. Like we got this dialed. We get up there, man. Everybody went to their spot on the river.
Nothing.
Just nothing. It's like, yeah, you think you got it dialed. So then, so Frank and I went back down to the confluence and it was Saturday. So it's like everybody drove in from Anchorage and everybody that lives in Alaska. And that was a day, man. And we stood in waist deep water for 6-8 hours and just wore ourselves out. Absolutely wore. What do you need help with, sweetie? I said you can use this one until I'm done here. It's going to be just a few minutes, okay? Here.
The sweetest little voices.
Right? Oh, I know.
Just help me.
I know. I'm going to start doing a podcast with them just for prosperity's sake. So Saturday we fished all day and I think I ended up with five fish. I would add six, but there was this kindly old fisherman that had been there forever. And he tried to net two fish for me. One jumped in his net and then out of it somehow. And one jumped over his net through his legs, lost both of those fish. But like we hooked into so many fish. And Sunday morning, we leave that afternoon and my right arm is just fried.
Tired.
From netting fish, hooking fish, fighting them. And I, you know, could have landed a few more or whatever, but like I basically limited out the entire every day that I went there. Awesome. And my whole left hand, like my thumb is chewed off from just, you know, grabbing fish with that. And you know, I filleted now, you know, 120 pounds of fish, my fair share. Only three of us are filleting. Two of my brothers wouldn't do it. So my dad and one of my brothers and I were filleting all these fish and we're going back and forth and we're hiking. And then Sunday morning we go down and it's the first day where it's like it's really overcast and there's like a wind coming through the canyon, but we want to get a few more fish on before we took off because that's all we went up there to do. And I'm standing in the middle of the creek and I fished next to Frank a couple of times. Me and Mark limited out together on that Friday. On Thursday, I fished with Paul quite a bit. And I'm like, I haven't really hung out with my dad much. Cause he didn't want to go shoulder to shoulder with guys, which I totally get. And yeah. You know, he's 65. And so he looks, you know, like Grizzly Adams. He's got his walking stick going across the river, his trekking pole. And so he's like, I'm just going to go to my spot where I killed him on Friday and just hang out there. And so we're sitting there on the river and this cold wind is blowing through the canyon. It's the first day I'm wearing long sleeves and I'm tired and I don't really want to be there. But I'm hanging out with my dad, so it's great, right? Yeah. And so we're just kind of just shooting the shit and whatever. And then the trail going into the Russian River is like matted. Like they went and put in like rubber mats across the whole thing. Anywhere where you would go over any of like the little creek streams that go into it are all boardwalked and everything. There are giant metal staircases that drop you into the river because they only want you going in at certain entry points. Basically trying to keep as much intact along the banks as they can. Yeah, and so on the boardwalk across from where me and my dad are, they're on the other side of the river from us. We're, I don't know, halfway across. And then the deep spot in the creek is between us. So like, guy starts yelling something. I can't really hear what he's saying. I can't hear you. I'm yelling across the river and he's yelling back. And then my dad starts yelling. He's Luke, fish on. And I've got the net in my vest. So I pull out the net and we land the fish. I never heard what the guys were trying to tell me or whatever. And so we're standing in the middle of the river and my dad's going to get the fish off the hook and looks over my shoulder. Standing about 60 yards behind me is a giant grizzly bear.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do we do? And I'm like, well, let's get the fish off. So we unhook the fish. I'm like, I'll just tie it to me. And we'll leave it in the river. The bear comes over. I'll just give it a fish. Like we've at least got food for it. And dude, there's carcasses everywhere because they have you fillet the fish and leave the carcass in the river. They've got fillet tables set up in the middle of the river, so the bears are fed. Like they've got a whole system. This place could not be more dialed. And so we finish up getting the fish or whatever. And my dad is still shaking. And his fly ended up hitting the net and he couldn't get out. So I unhooked that for him or whatever. So we just stand there in the river. And now we both have all this adrenaline going. Sure. And we're looking at this bear and we've kind of got it. And the bear starts kind of meandering down the river. And it's walking towards, there's probably 15 to 20 fishermen like below the hole we're at where we can see him. The bear starts walking to my dad, bear! And the bear looks back at us, goes, who, me? And stands up on its hind legs. And we're like, oh no, it starts walking towards us. So we just kind of stand in the middle of the river. Yeah. And now we've got like full like fight or flight. Like we're not sure what to do. And then he just looks at us and goes, eh, never mind. And turns up into the woods. And so now I'm warm. I'm ready to fish. Next cast, I hook into a, you know, 24 inch sockeye salmon that's just pissed off and going the wrong direction, and I was fully back into it. So dude, the whole trip was unbelievable.
So one question I have, how do you guys end up keeping all your meat cold?
So like, this is the thing. So Cooper's Landing is the little town next to the Russian River. They've got a freezer space for you. You just pay like 48 cents a pound or whatever it was to freeze it for up to 5 days. We bought a vacuum seal. So we cleaned the fish, vacuum sealed them, did all that, and then brought them to the freezer place. They took care of them for us. Then they packed them for shipping and we took them right on the airplane. So we had the ones we caught Sunday morning were the only ones that weren't frozen solid. We threw them in with the fish that were already frozen. We didn't even need ice.
That's a great system.
Yeah, dude, they got it dialed, man. People come up to go fishing, and they're ready for you, man.
When you said you were like, yeah, it's like 150 pounds of fish. I'm like, how'd you guys keep that on ice with your camping? And like, what the heck, dude? That's this. And then I'm thinking, and then if you're holding on to it, there's bears running around.
Yep,
then what?
Like, no, we took probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 fillets a day, cooked them up. And then we had a generator. So we just turned on the Food Saver Deluxe 9000 and then put everything in vacuum seal packs. And then on the way back to the river the next day, we would just stop by. There was 3 or 4 different processing plants where they would clean them and debone them and vacuum seal them for you for an extra price. But we're like, yeah, we can take care of all that ourselves. So we did that. And then we just dropped them off and less than a buck a pound.
That's pretty slick. That's pretty slick. Yeah. Dad and I, we've been out to the ocean probably 6 or 7 times for this salmon season. We've done well.
Yeah.
Got filled up the coolers and all that fun stuff. The last trip we went out, my dad ended up catching it was like a 30 inch ling, something like that. It was a good sized ling for Oregon.
I've caught one. I've only gone out on the ocean once back, Lincoln City. I was probably like, I don't know, 12, 10.
I'll tell you,
12.
What though, you know what fish I am now like super turned on to that I'm like, I think it might be one of the best tasting fish I've ever had and just texture. It's cabazon.
Have you? I don't even know. No.
So cabazon is also a bottom fish, like a ling. They have, you know, their teeth, but they're relatively large, and they put a very restrictive season on them to the degree that, like, you get one fish off the Oregon coast. And I think it has to be over 15 inches. Yep. But so last year we didn't realize that cabazon season was open, and I caught a monster, probably 10 pounder, which is big. And we ended up letting it go, but they're real pretty. I mean, they're brown fish, they're bottom fish, but they're pretty for a brown fish. And then, Dave caught a real nice one, bigger than the one last year that I caught last week. And it was probably, I bet that thing was 11, 12 pounds. Nice. They pull hard. They're fun fish.
Well, I'll have to get out there with you. That would be a ton of fun. So how to piss off corporations.
How to piss off corporations.
How to take your kids to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And how to fish for sockeye salmon on the Russian River.
On the Russian River.
There you go.
Today has been a good hodgepodge.
It's an effective podcast. I think we've made the world a better place. Plus, multiple interruptions from young children. So I think, you know, listen, it is what it is. How to parent while podcasting. There you go. There's number four. So here's what we'll do is direct people to where they can follow you on social media. See your pissed off Sherwin Williams post.
Certainly. I am the Box Dad on TikTok and Instagram. I make all sorts of fun content, and I've got some fun stuff that's coming out soon too. So I haven't.
And angry rants.
And angry rants.
Yep.
If I get upset about things, it's typically things that only affect me.
So. Perfect. Hey, you know what? That's the way it should be. Just people need to stop worrying about trying to be pissed off for other people. Just get pissed off for yourself. People. You're allowed to get pissed off for yourself. Don't get pissed off because, you know, this just really upsets me because nobody's thinking about the people in Asia. I'm like, well, I guess we are now.
And now we are.
And the best is when it's uneducated people complaining about four people that, don't even affect them. That is how you interact with Ben. I'm on social media, but I don't interact, as we know. But if you want to listen to more episodes of the How To Podcast, it is at odyssey.com. Just search How To with Luke and Ben, and you can find all of the episodes right there. Thank you for listening to this, and have an absolutely wonderful day. We'll be back with another episode very soon.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Would you look at that?
It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's really refreshing!